you start training your birds, you just want to find a place away from your other birds so that you have their attention. You want to get them to feel comfortable on their training table. This is the table we use all the time.
You know, we talked about, grooming the birds for show, but what do you do when you're at the show? What I came up with was just a traveling grooming table, and I made it out of skid wood from work.
So this is all recovered material.
All recovered, recycled materials.
Yep.
We're going live.
This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. This episode I'm broadcasting from the first annual East Coast Chicken Day. It's a Cerama Council of North America production, but we have all kinds of chickens and chickeners here. What town am I in, guys?
You're in South Brunswick, New Jersey.
Oh, and I'm talking, the host is a family of chickeners by the names of Mary Beth, Tony, and Tony. Thank you guys for inviting me up here.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mary Beth, what made you decide to finally host a chicken day of your own?
Well, I had somebody from Delaware driving up to buy a pair of birds. So I figured, well, if she's coming from Delaware, I might as well call Mike and Sam from Pennsylvania. If Mike and Sam are coming from Pennsylvania, I might as well put it out to the entire Cerama Council. And we ended up about 25 people, I guess. Delaware, Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. So that's not bad, you know, for a first time.
We had some participation ribbons printed. We had some birds to give away. Buddy brought something to eat. It was a good time.
It's not a country folk event, really, is it? Everybody's got neighbors pretty close by. I came from New York City.
Yeah, we're surrounded.
So that's what makes it different. I mean, there's lots of chicken days on the East Coast, but this is kind of a suburban, urban chicken day. That's where the world's going.
Everybody got to bring their favorite birds, and we got to exchange ideas, and we really had a good time.
Yeah, I got some sounds of the training and some of the other stuff going on. So what got you folks started in chickening and birding?
Well, it was an accident.
Somebody tell me.
Always is an accident.
Well,
just flew into your yard and
so.
Set up shop, right? No confessions are necessary, just the general.
I was duped, is what it was.
Little Tony was into herpetology for 4-H, and we went to a herpetology show in Pennsylvania, and they had these little ducks and chickens, and I found out they were selling them as feeders. And I couldn't save everybody, but I bought these three little ducks, and put them in a box, gave them to a friend that was with us, and told him to give them to little Tony as a birthday present without my husband knowing. And we really liked the little ducks, and once we had the little ducks, somebody gave us some chickens from 4-H, and we got the chickens, and we did good, and we liked them, and
we
got more chickens.
Yep.
And then my cousin told me about Ceramas, and I went on Eggbit, and I found our fearless leader, Sam, ended up at Sam's house, and handpicked half a dozen chicks, and now I guess we have about 100 or so.
Okay, so it all started with ducks, and then ducks led to people, and then people led to chickens, and then chickens led to more people that led to more chickens. So I got that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I only found out that she was the one that bought the ducks recently, because I always thought that it was my friend that had given him the ducks.
Okay. So, Tony, sometimes the most resistant member of the family ends up becoming the biggest chickener. That's what happened with me. Is that what happened here or not necessarily?
Well, I was
Is there a biggest resistant. Chickener here?
I was more resistant because we had a standard rooster who used to hide and chase me everywhere. And I had to walk outside with a broom and whack him because he would attack me on a nonstop basis. And then when I found out about the Ceramas, and they're nice little birds, and they're sweet, and they're cuddly.
Yep.
And I can carry him around, and now I'm in real deep. And then I started my own 4-H club. So I got about between 15 and 20 kids in my club now. Most of them have birds. Some of them are going to start showing on a national level with us and traveling to show. I start my apprenticeship for my judging at the Ohio National. I'm involved with the youth group for the Cerama Council and working on a coloring book and a story for the kids. And
I think it was really 4-H that really kind of
moved it right along. Yeah. It's been 5 years and we're just in real deep, man.
When we started,
what's the hook? What's the hook that makes chickens do all this stuff? Why aren't you doing a coloring book about minerals or a coloring book about turtles or a coloring book about pug dogs?
I think it's their personality, you know?
Each one has its own personality.
And they're pretty funny, you know? Yeah.
They give back.
They give back to you. They give you love. They give you food, you know? There's nothing like a fresh egg. Once you've had a fresh egg, you'll never buy what's at the grocery store again.
Yeah.
They're good for the bugs in your yard. They're good for fertilizer. They're good for friends, their company. And you meet people from, we've met people from all over the world doing this. Last year, there were people here from the Netherlands and Belgium and England.
There's lots of backyard chicken people out there. And some have 3 or 4 birds. Some have 50 or 60 or 100. Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing is when you go to the shows, you can spend time with someone that is showing birds, and you don't know how many they have. And then when you get to talk to them, you find out they have 2,000 or 3,000 at home on their farm. But you have the same chance that they do in the show. It's all about the bird. So you get to meet people from different walks of life. Some people are business people. Some people are farmers. Some people are everyday people like us. Really.
What's the biggest challenge?
Traveling with the chickens.
Really, it is, yeah. Some guys ship their birds. We go in a car. We pack them all up and
pack
head
up the
out.
Minivan.
Yeah, we pack up the minivan and we head out and
do impromptu shows along the road. We did.
Well, that's what we were talking about this earlier, and it sounds like there's actually a benefit to that biggest challenge. That
anywhere you go, when you're traveling with a carload of birds and people see that, people are curious. They want to know what you're doing, where you're going. They want to see the birds. You stop at a rest area. You pop the hatch because someone wants to see him. All of a sudden, you got a crowd around the back of your van, and you're talking about chickens. You know, how we keep them, what we're doing with them. Do you get eggs? Do you eat your birds? They're curious about the other side of it before the processing. You know, what the bird's like. They want to see where their food comes from.
More and more people are getting chickens. Our neighborhood, we used to be the only ones in our neighborhood that had chickens. There's about a half a dozen of us now.
Is that your influence, you think? Were you pioneers in that?
No, I just think people, I think people more and more want the fresh eggs.
Especially now with what's gone on with the industry.
You know, people hear how the chicken industry is for eggs and stuff, and, you know, that egg you're getting in the grocery store is, like, pushing 2 months old, you know? There's a big difference between one from the hen house and one from, you know, the grocery store.
You get the manure as a bonus.
What do you guys do with the manure?
Some of the manure we use for the vegetable garden. The rest goes in the compost.
And have you noticed a difference in the vegetables you're producing?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Faster, bigger?
Bigger, more resilient, a healthier plant.
So do you think it's, what do you think is the difference between a sort of centralized biosecurity system and a decentralized one where just folks like you are taking care of your own small coops?
Well,
versus a big inspection system.
That's because we show, and because Tony is in 4-H, anytime his birds go to a show, they have to be tested for salmonella. So our birds are monitored several times a year. Other people that have really big flocks where they test them for the National Poultry Improvement Program, they take a sampling of the flock and test them each year. Our birds, every bird that goes to show is tested. And because we see the birds and we work with them so much, you know if there's an issue. And you can tell immediately if there's an issue.
It's been a while since I've talked about seramas on the show. So, and different people have a different way of explaining what a serama is in 30 seconds. Can I hear one of you guys do that?
The world's smallest, sweetest chicken. Great pet.
Roosters and hens, they're both very docile. Easy to handle, very friendly.
So they're about 6-8 inches high, and they weigh usually less than a pound, right?
They can weigh anywhere from 6 ounces to...
maximum for show is 19 ounces.
Yeah, they're pretty happy outdoors in a situation like you have, but some folks are having them in apartments, like Buck and Call flock.
Yes, exactly. And again, with keeping them in the apartments, you still got to get them out and let them run.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, the interaction.
Makes you happy. Yeah. You go to work, it's stressful. You come home, it's a little piece of happiness, you know?
Okay. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Did you folks have a good time?
We had a great time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.